those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the believer now, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if he doesn't live in you, he's not controlling your action, your attitude, your words, and your behavior. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
From the woman caught in adultery to those of us who have committed to follow Christ, the Bible tells us that we are to be holy just as the Lord our God is holy. This is Jerry G. Martin with The Light of the World, and I encourage you to come and walk with us as we share these messages on living a holy life.
All these evils comes from inside and makes a man unclean. When you look at that list that he mentioned, if all of that was eliminated, man, what kind of society would we be in? We'd be in a wonderful, blessed society. Let's look at that a little bit closer. It is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. As I was looking at this, my thought was this: if it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, how does it get into a man in the first place? It has to get in you to come out of you. So what comes out of you make you unclean. David mentioned this in Psalms 51:5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And the King James says, from my mother's womb, I was sinful. And he talks about that sin nature that we all inherited, our DNA from Adam when he sinned against God. And the Bible says, so when one man sinned, sin entered the world, and through that one man all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? It is the operation of that nature that is on the inside of us that leans toward these things that are evil. It leans that way. That's a natural tendency. It is innate in us. It is natural to us to sin. It is a man's nature to do that. It is our nature to do that. That's why they don't have to teach us how to do that. Amen. They have to teach us how to steal. You've stolen something, but did you have stealing lessons? Have you had lying lessons? Your parents or your friends took you to the side and says, okay, you're getting old enough to learn how to lie now. We're going to have to teach you how to lie. No, we don't have to teach you how to lie. That was natural to you. Amen. Just like a dog barks, and they don't have to be taught how to bark because it's in his nature. Sin is in our nature. And Jesus said, these things will come out of you. If it's in there, it's going to manifest itself. That's why I don't rail against people who are doing sinful things when they're sinners, because they're doing what sinners do. Sinners sin and have unclean activities that come out of us. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. That's why we have to be born again. We have to be born again and receive the Spirit of God, that now we have the sin nature who's still on the inside of us, and we have a new nature of the Spirit of God who wants to control our lives, and now we have a choice. See, before you got saved, you didn't have a choice. You functioned according to that sin nature, and you did whatever that sin nature promoted or prompted you to do. You just did it, and you didn't think anything was wrong with it. I mean, you just flowed like that. That's life. This is what I do. What's wrong with you trying to tell me I'm wrong? I'm not wrong. Yeah, I like to party. I like to drink. I like to get down. Yeah, that's life. What's wrong with that? I like to have a good time. I like to party. I like to have sex with people. What's the problem? Jesus said, whatever's in a man's heart, it's coming out. That's your heart attack. It's going to attack. It's going to attack. It's going to come out. It's not going to stay there. It's coming out. And Jesus said, now that's what you have to worry about, not washing your hands. You got to worry about that unclean heart, because that unclean heart is going to manifest itself. Paul talked about this whole process in the book of Romans, and in chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, he said, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's capital S, the Spirit of God, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Then he compares, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the believer now, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if he doesn't live in you, he's not controlling your action, your attitude, your words, and your behavior. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Paul is saying, yes, when you get saved, your sin nature doesn't disappear. I used to think that because that's the way they testified in the church I grew up in. I've been saved all day, no evil have I done. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with the mighty burning fire. I'm saved and I'm holy, I'm sanctified. The devil can't do me no harm. And then I got saved and he did me some harm. That was false advertising. I thought that once you got saved, you could not sin anymore. But that's not true. Paul is saying, whoever you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you are. The dynamics change when you are a sinner and you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You cannot please God because he's in control. The process of salvation has to do with the Spirit of God coming to take up residence in you so that he breaks the power of that sinful nature who was controlling you, and he steps up on the throne. And as long as you yield yourself to the Spirit of God in obedience, sin cannot master your life. Then you're walking in victory. You're walking in righteousness. But at any time, you can allow your sin nature to be activated and function. At any time, that's up to you. So how do you know you're saved? How do you know? Here's what happens. You can go out and have all kind of lifestyles. We used to go out and we'd party and on the weekend, and then we'd get up and we'd talk about it on Monday. Man, we had a good time. We did this, that, and whatever. We didn't have any remorse about that. We didn't have any shame. We didn't have anything that we wanted to say that we did wrong. That was just a good time. When you come to Christ and you can do some of those things, some of you will know this, and you come to Christ, you tell a lie, something on the inside of you said, now you know that wasn't right. You need to go back and fix that. You need to ask for forgiveness. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you that wasn't there when you was unsaved, because you used to lie and then you tried to fix it up, put a hat on it. So it looked good. You didn't care. You just, then you told another lie and another lie. But when you're saved, the Spirit of God says, now that ain't right. That's when you know the Spirit of God's on the inside of you. You go off and you get in some kind of sexual escapade. You don't feel as good as you used to feel. You just feel like, oh, Lord, I'm so unclean. I need to go and get this. I need to repent. I need to go before God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Well, that's the Spirit of God on the inside of you saying, that's not right. Get it right. Cut it out. Stop it. But Jesus said, you want to know about unclean? Uncleanliness comes from inside. Here's the problem with the heart. Jeremiah said it this way, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it? Who can understand it? You can be saved, sanctified, living right, walking in holiness, walking in sanctification. And at any time, there's an opportunity for you to have a heart attack in the spirit. Something comes up and you thought you had victory over that. You thought that that thing was gone. You thought that you didn't have a problem with that. It could be anger. I'm not just talking about going off and doing something, running off with, with somebody. It could be your anger. You thought that you had that thing conquered. And then something happened. The next thing you know, you got a baseball bat chasing somebody around. You'd be like, oh, Lord, that ain't me. That's what you used to do. You remember when you used to do that? You should have thrown that bat away. You kept it under the bed. You should have got rid of it. Here's what he said, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You got to start guarding your heart and guarding your mind and working on these things that's in our heart so that we can produce those things that are pleasing unto God. Jesus said this in that passage when he talked about the heart. This is what he said. What comes out of a man that makes him unclean? For from within, out of men's hearts, the first thing he said, it comes evil thoughts. It begins with the thought. And he calls them evil thoughts. When he talks about sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, all of these began with thoughts. The word thought carries the idea of a discussion or a debate. It begins in your heart. It begins in your mind. And you begin to think about it. You begin to, listen, you're not going to commit adultery without thinking about it. You don't go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. You think about it. It entertain it. You work on it. You say, no, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. And while you're saying, yes, you should, you keep walking closer. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. You ain't stepping back. You just keep going forward. He says, first thing come are evil thoughts. If you're going to steal something, you're going to murder somebody, you're going to have adulterous activities, sexual immorality, pornography, all of those kind of things come with the thought. And what comes into our thought ends up in our heart, and then it begins to produce these actions and activities. If you got issues going on, check your mind and your thought life. That's why the scripture said we need to be renewed in our mind. Our mind needs to be transformed. Listen, if you got some of these things that's going on, you got to watch what you're taking in to your heart and your thought life. You can't watch everything on TV over and over and don't think it affects you. They spend billions of dollars on commercial advertising. You know why? They know that it affects your buying pattern. They know that. You're not even thinking about it while you're watching the commercial. They don't want you to think about it then. They want you to think about it when you're in the store trying to make a decision. When you're taking in all of these actions and all of these things that you're seeing on TV, and when you get in a similar situation, you're going to act just like they acted. Why do you think some of these youngsters can walk in and start shooting somebody without any kind of remorse? Well, they've been doing it all their life on these video games that y'all bought. You didn't buy them no video game where they have to learn biblical scripture, where they had to learn songs about the Lord and biblical characters. You bought them something shooting up everybody. And then when they go do that, you'd be like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe he got ADD. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery. These are active responses to the thoughts that one entertains. They manifest themselves in sexual activities. Fornication. Fornication is sex without marriage. Adultery is somebody else's wife. In fact, every woman or every man, whether they're married or not, is somebody else's potential husband or wife. So the church folks ought not be having sex when they ain't married. Let me say that one more time. The church folks ought not be having sex when they ain't married. No matter what church you go to. Whether they say anything about it or not. Well, let me back up. I say church folks. Saved folks. People who know God. People who say they love God with their lips and their hearts are not far from Him. You ought not be having sex before you get married. Engagement don't count. I'm just going to look down this way. Engagement don't count. We've been going together for 3 years. That don't count either. When the men's club get raided, there ought not be no saints in there. You saw how many pastors and saints was on that website for cheating, whatever it was called. What was it called? Y'all know. What was the... What's the website address? One pastor committed suicide because his name was on the list. Jesus said, you know why you're committing that? Because it's in your heart. It's in your heart, and what comes in your heart is out. What you're saying is, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to take care of this. Pornography, why is the pornographic industry one of those industries that makes billions of dollars? Because a lot of Christians are on their websites and buying their material. Child molestations, and incest, rape. Jesus said that comes out of a man's heart. Criminal activities are also the result of evil thoughts. Theft, murders. And then he gets down to those things that even the best of us have to say, Lord, forgive me. Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. Jesus said all these things are from the evil thoughts that are in people's hearts. And you know, when you get saved, your mind don't get saved. Did you know that? I used to think my mind got saved. Your mind don't get saved. Your spirit man comes alive. That's why you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can be an immature believer and you got to grow into maturity. Paul says you got to take the old man off. Take off the old man and put on the new man. You got to take him off piece by piece as you're walking with the Lord. You got to take off these things. You got to begin to wrestle. That's why Paul says when in spiritual warfare, you got to put on the helmet of salvation, because the first thing that happens is the warfare is in your mind. The spiritual warfare is not walking in your room trying to cast the devil out of your kid's room. It's kind of get your mind right and get your heart right and get everything right that's going on inside of here. That's where the first war is, because he talks about those fiery darts and casting down imagination. Those fiery darts come. The enemy comes with a fiery dart in your mind, and you got to wrestle with that thing. You got to cast it down. You got to quench it with the shield of faith. No, that's not going to take place in here. Okay. Y'all work on somebody else then. Y'all work on the other folk. Don't work on yourself. The hardest one for the work on in the word is our own selves and our own hearts and our own mind and our own behavior. Our own. All of these evils come from inside of a man. This is the question today. What's going on in your heart? You may think you're looking real holy and righteous, but some of what's inside has been showing up on the outside. If we're going to ever fulfill what God wants to do in our lives, we're going to have to examine our hearts. Men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The psalmist said this as I close out here with David's thoughts. In Psalm 139, verse 23, he said, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting." Here's what I want to challenge us to do. Can we do that and say to the Lord, "Lord, search me, search my heart, test me"? We know other people got issues, but we ain't going to worry about them today. What about me? You know, the old saints had this song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. And David, after he had committed the adulterous affair with Bathsheba, in his remorseful and repentance, he wrote this in Psalm chapter 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God. He says, that came out of my heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Come and change my heart. Touch me. Purify my heart and my mind so that I can function properly and right going forward. Wherever you are, I don't know what you're going through. If you're in your life and you keep struggling from time to time, trying to overcome all the things you're dealing with, anger, bitterness, resentful, unforgiveness, sexual immorality, all kinds of things that's going on, let's get to the core of the issue. The core of the issue, Jesus said, not that you haven't come to church often enough. That's not the problem, your church attendance. Your offering that you're giving faithfully, that's not the problem. He said the problem is in the heart. We don't want to be like the Pharisees who worship him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. He wants our hearts turned toward him. The scripture says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth looking for the man whose heart is turned toward him so he can show himself strong on their behalf. I want all of us to take a moment today to ask the Lord to purify our hearts. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up if you got an unclean heart. That's not what we're trying to get to. We ain't trying to point anybody off. This message runs from the pulpit to the pew. All of us, right where we are, let's ask the Lord to check us and our hearts. You may say, well, the Lord checked my heart and I'm good. I got a good, clean checkup. Well, check it again tomorrow. Check it again next week, next month. Things could change. We want to be the one that God is using. If we want to take his light to the world, we want to be in the condition and the position that God can use us in a mighty way. And I know you want to be used by God. I know you want God's grace and favor in your lives. We don't want to just go through the motion and go through the ritual of church, go through the church attendance and go through the practice of singing songs and clapping our hands, and then we got all these issues going on in our lives. Wherever you are, here's a good time to say, Lord, search my heart. Search my mind. You know what's in me. Give me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me.
Many of us have things going on in our lives that if brought before the Lord, we would be guilty. The good news is that Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you, but he will tell us that his grace is sufficient and his forgiveness is available to us, but we are to go and sin no more. You may have asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life. The question is he the Lord of your life? If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, invite him. Then determine that you will walk with him and allow him to use your life to reach others. This is Jerry G. Martin. If you would like us to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ or for any of your prayer needs, call us right now at 281-964-1393. 281-964-1393. To listen to this message again, you can do so by going to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can join us on our Sunday morning services online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Or you can join us in person each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. We'd love to have you to come out and join with us as Pastor Jackie is sharing great messages that will help you to grow and help you to be all that God wants you to be. For those of you who are looking for books and Bibles or church supplies, we have the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. For more information, call 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.